Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to Doolin Christian Living Today. I'm Elias Hoskinson, serving as your co-host each and every week, and along with me is my lovely wife, Dawn. How are you doing tonight, Dawn?
Hi, Elliot. I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's been a beautiful day of worship today. We spent time again with campers up at the campground, and it turned out to be just a wonderful morning, great discussion, and just a good opportunity to spend some time together in prayer and consider God's word and everyday life for us and how we are to apply it. So we hope that we're going to be able to have that discussion continue on tonight as we're going to be working our way through Psalm 141, but we'll get back to that in a second. Dawn, I really appreciate the fact that you keep listening to the archive out there and help spread the message in the gospel of Christ by sharing the link of the podcast with friends and family, and just want to encourage you to continue to do so.
Yeah, hopefully what we have to say spurs a few conversations with people that you care and love.
Absolutely. One of the things that we really do find interesting with this ministry is just that time in conversation and people's reactions to it once they do open up and have that conversation. I think that we found that people really are hungry to have an open discussion to express not just their concerns but their beliefs and their understanding of how God is working in their lives. So we want to just continue to encourage you out there to do the same in every and anything you can find in any way.
That's a great way to grow in your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk often in this ministry about sharing in the way that people understand that you are living your faith and making it an obvious piece of your life as opposed to that private hidden piece that so many of us grew up in church believing that it was a private faith. You know, it's only for us to have inside us. But as we come to understand God working within us, his direction should be overflowing through us, and that's what I want to encourage people to do.
And the beauty of that is that the more you share, the more folks around you you're going to find that also are faithful.
That's the eye-opening thing with this, that it has really caused us to understand how many faithful people are out there and how many people just want to have that discussion where they may not be certain or may not be sure or just want
not
clarification or just want to express it from their point of view. You know, it's easy for people to fall into a habit of just believing that what happens in worship church on Sunday mornings is everything that they need to worry about and care about, and it's exactly in that format and process. But they don't get that chance to explore a little bit deeper and understand things a little bit more personal. And that's where the conversation comes into play. It gives you that chance to take it out of a structure that can be restrictive at times and gives you a chance to challenge and look for answers. So with that, we're going to move forward tonight. Dawn, you selected a song for us tonight?
Right. I think we're going to do If We Are a Body.
Okay. Let's listen to We Are the Body by Dawn.
The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words? Traveler is far away from home. Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. And we are the body of Christ. If we are the body,
there you go. And that's our mission in life and in our ministry is to let people know that we are one body in Christ. And as one body in Christ, we are to love and care for each other and support each other in everything that we say and everything that we do. And that came forward in our conversation actually this morning as well. Just so interesting how frequently we get to that space.
Just a great song to help remind you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so today we're going to be working in Psalm 141. Psalms have been something that Dawn and I have been working through throughout the summer as we do our prayer service for the clientele over at Frontline here in Chesterton. And it's a good reminder for everyone that we need to find an opportunity to go into other aspects of Scripture and not just stay locked into the New Testament. So in particular, Psalms can be some very emotionally drawn prayer to help you along and find an opportunity where God may be speaking to your heart in ways that you hadn't thought before. So spend some time in Psalms in particular and work your way through it over time. And I think you'll find it to be fruitful in a lot of ways. Someone had recommended to me years ago and it's not until recent years that I really have taken some earnest attention to the book of Psalms, and I'm very thankful for that recommendation. So, Dawn, why don't we go ahead and just start into our conversation today.
Okay, this is Psalm 141, verses 1 through 4. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hand be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies.
So this is a Psalm of David, and to me, you can really just take any one of these the four verses and work with it, as I think there's so much in here, but so much in Psalms, but what I really appreciate is the honesty that comes forward in the writings. In that it's a very direct conversation and a very unopposed, unrestricted relationship that the psalmist usually has with God, oftentimes challenging God very directly, very specifically in anger or fear or frustration, saying, God, where are you? Why aren't you into my life? And I just love that we have such a giving and wonderful God that he does take it all in stride and does understand our frustrations and our shortfallings of knowing exactly what his will is and how that will becomes perfect in Jesus. So, you know, right here as we get off to the start of this, we can break this down and say from the beginning, Lord, come quickly to me, right? There's no peace here. You know, a very direct statement. Don't you hear me when I call you, basically is what he's saying. Hear me when I call you. Listen to me. And I think that's an interesting concept because we want to hold God in reverence that, you know, some people say, well, you can't yell at God. You can't, you know, challenge him and say, now, God, more than ever. And well, yeah, God understands that. He may not, you know, necessarily appreciate, but I don't know what he appreciates or not appreciates. I just know that he accepts it. He knows what
he's happy for the conversation.
He's happy for the conversation. I think that's a great way of putting it. So in this first verse, it's a very direct and very specific statement. And I encourage you all in your prayer life to be just as fervent and diligent and immersed in your prayer, that you feel you can just release it to God in all of what you feel and all of what's going on, whether it's joy, whether it's sadness, whether it's anger and frustration. But let
set the gift over to God.
And also, when as you hear the rest of this, you can tell that this person is anxious and this person concerned and wants to get to it.
Yeah, he's anxious, like you said, and wants to write to it. So, you know, have that trust in God that he can handle it. His shoulders are broad and his abilities are immense, and, you know, such to the point that we don't ever be able to have a chance to fully understand. But then here we go into verse 2, and he says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like an evening sacrifice." So as he's pleading to God, raising up his arms, may it be sweet and pleasing to you, Lord, that I am coming to you. And I think that's an interesting contrast to the direct statement above.
I also think, I mean, how many times have you seen churches where people are very free like that and everyone's got their arms up? And I never thought of it like you're giving yourself to God. I just thought it was just one more part of a different way to pray more expressively. But
I'm not sure what all the motivations are, but that position that you're talking about is a supplication. It is a giving of yourself because you now are vulnerable. When your hands are open and stretched out above you, you can't protect your body. So you're opening up your soul. You're opening up your heart. And I just love that consideration.
I think the term sacrifice never came to me before, but I totally hear what you're saying, Matt.
To give up that piece of our soul, right? To think that we have the ability to hold on to something that God wouldn't already know about us. Now we are giving ourselves over as that sacrifice. Our soul, the internal workings of our ideas and our thoughts, the deep, dark areas of our minds that only we know, but God also knows, right?
It's a presentation of being totally open.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So then we go into the verse 3 here. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And this has so many different ways you can explore it. I tend to group it into with the ending of verse 4, but you know, how often do we talk about we react and say things we don't want to say and do things we don't feel we should do, but we did it out of reaction. And here's an opportunity for the psalmist here saying, Lord, stop me from doing those things that I want to do on my own. Whether it's in voice, whether, you know, in this particular case, you know, saying things that shouldn't be said, keep my mouth shut. Tell me, you know, to speak only with your tongue, Lord, only with your Holy Spirit, not with my intentions, not with my desires, not with my personal beliefs, but only with your Spirit, Lord. So I just love that concept. You talked about that earlier today, the door of my lips, right? And I think the interesting about this issue of the door, it's two things here. It's that issue of what comes out through the door, but also what comes in through the door. And that's where I go into the issue of verse 4. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. So this inward issue of being tempted, of having tasted this fine food of evil and sin, and you know, yes, it may be temporal joy and happiness that we experience, but it is of a nature that we know it's not right. So, Lord, don't allow me to go down this path.
But always presented in a form of a delicacy.
Yeah, something that's sweet to you, something that's tasty for you, something that you're going to crave and desire, right? And that's what the world does to us. The world gives us these delicacies over to us in so many different ways. And we explored many of them today, which was really an interesting conversation at the Dunes today. Where we talk about how the world does so much in terms of showing it to us in ways that make it look glorious and being helpful. No, you shouldn't be wearing your faith on your shirt sleeve because that may offend somebody. And we don't want to offend anybody. And isn't the goal of all faith is to have unity and harmony? So it sounds good, right? But the reality is that the temptation for us to hide our faith, for not to speak the truth in love, and to show our true belief and understanding of what God's creation is all about and how we are to serve each other, right? But the world will frame it as a delicacy of this other purity, this other harmony that will exist. As soon as everybody sheds themselves of their own faith, we go back into the John Lennon song, imagine there is no religion, right? And what peace will come of it when the religions aren't fighting. And you know, that's how the society, that's how the world wants to take us away from who we are and what we were created for as a creature of God.
But it is important for religions to recognize that it is not their job to straighten other sects out and to push their own agendas and to have any structure or sense that they think they're the only way.
Well, and we talk about that, and this is where faith can be that temptation also. When you start to use faith as a club, okay, as something to hammer somebody with, as something to separate somebody else from, right? That's the same issue of temptation coming in, because that is the pure way of doing it. But what we got to remember is the purity is in the love of Christ, the gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the sacrifice that he made so that we have life, that we are created in God's light for love and care of each other, and that in Christ we are united, regardless of what your nationality is, regardless of what your race is, regardless of what denomination of faith you reside in. Christ died for us all, and it's that saving grace that is where we have to find the unity and harmony again once in the world, and not be tempted to look at these other issues as being more pure or purer than some other methodology and process. Again, that temptation that says we have to do it this way, otherwise God won't be pleased. Well, is that proper discernment? Is that really what God is calling for you to do? You know, so we got to be careful of how we look at these delicacies. You know, some of the more tangible issues, obviously, you know, we talk about because we do our work over the front line and we care through prayer for those clients that are going through recovery. And, you know, we know the temptations that people keep putting in front of them. And here, all you need to do is taste it and smell it and use it once, you'll be fine. You know, these are some very direct implications.
It's going to be good. You're going to love it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. You're going to love it. You
know? And they do.
And they do. And you see the results. And
until
we're,
it tears
we're,
their life apart.
Exactly. So I love this concept of talking about these things, these issues that want to take us from who we are in Christ as delicacies that are being served up, but they're sin-oriented, and they're not rooted in God. But that's the way the world works. That's the way people work within the world oftentimes, is that they're going to show you a better pathway, a better, brighter star just around the corner, something that you can really have peace and understanding with. Just taste it. And
don't you think that's how evil works exactly?
Oh, it's exactly that, in temptation. Absolutely. Let me go into a little bit of background. I didn't set this up, but you know, we hear in Matthew, talk about other scriptures that relate to this, and we hear Jesus giving us the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? We say this every day of our lives, the Lord's Prayer. And do we really look at that in light of Psalm 141 is bringing to us? In?
I just think that after going through the Psalm, that will always mean so much more.
I think it lightens it up, absolutely. Illuminates a whole other aspect of it, or just the importance
yeah.
of it, right?
Yeah.
Joshua 24, now then, said Joshua, throw away foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And then we hear in Psalm 119, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. So, Lord, let me follow your will, your law, not what is good to me, not what is fun for me, not that gives me momentary pleasure, but whatever pleases you and whatever satisfies you, let me lift it up into you, because for all of what I do is for your glory. And I just love that aspect of Psalm 119. And then in Proverbs 23, even more direct, do not crave his delicacies, for the food is deceptive. And if we think about all the food that we get served up each and every day from the world around us, how much of that really is deceptive? How much of that is to tear us apart from each other, to tear us apart from our faith, to say that we cannot do certain things because it's for the greater good, when we know that the greater good is God's will? You know, that's the thing that just continues to pull at me.
Well, and you always have to think about what is the driver. I think, like, in our world today, anyone trying to market a product, they're not thinking about what's best for you, what's best for the world, what God wants for you. All they're thinking about is how are they going to get you to take that money out of your pocket
sure.
and put it on the table for their product. And it could be something that in the long run could really harm you.
Absolutely. And I think to some degree, you know, we look at this issue of political correctness. Is again, that's a delicacy, right? We have to be politically correct. We can't be ever doing things that might offend or might challenge another group. And I say to you, that can be another delicacy. That's this false god. That's this false belief that there's this opportunity that if we just neutralize who we are and never believe in what we believe in and never state exactly what God wants us to do, and we just kind of gently push ourselves away from that aspect of our lives and just give back to the world in such a way that says we can all just get along as long as we don't talk about anything. You know, that's a false delicacy. That's a false illusion. That's a government-driven God, I believe. Okay, if we truly love each other and we truly care for each other in the nature of what God has given us, then we can speak openly and we can trust in our differences because we know that we are built differently. We are created differently. We are given different purposes and different gifts and talents. So once we understand that God has given us all these unique capabilities so that together we are greater than we are by ourselves because of those differences, we are forced into a position where we become less than what we should be, right? When we make everything neutralized and not allow people to use the gifts that God's created them to have. So that's this false temptation again. That's this false delicacy. The world would be better if everybody just gave up their faith.
I would really like to see you dig into the history of the start of this country, because I do think that there were a lot of faith-based drivers and the folks that came over here and wanted to create this new world. And that just seems to be being squashed so severely.
Yeah, I probably need to do that, and I agree with you, Don. And it's not the issue of what faith or one form of belief. It was the ability to be free in that,
and,
right? to fully be free.
And this
faith.
Country under God.
Yeah, and that's the issue. It is all under God, right? And again, if we can accept the fact that God's created us with different gifts and different missions and different plans, then we should be able to accept that there are different expressions of faith.
I can see the views becoming more and more narrow rather than being open to recognizing that everyone's not going to have the same path in their faith.
Absolutely. So the freedom of expression of our faith is important. Again, what brings people together? We talked a little bit about this today, too. You know, some people are drawn to a high church environment, and they feel a certain spirituality when they're in a cathedral. Other people feel a different spirituality come to life underneath the trees at the dunes, right? And that is fine. And when we can be perfectly accepting of that and acknowledging that the person that worships in this form and fashion under this tradition that really believes in what they believe in and is fed spiritually with that, that is fantastic. We should lift that up and encourage that person to continue that pathway, not look to change that pathway, right? So,
to me, it's like every Sunday, it's us letting Christ work through us for the good of the folks there that do feel that way about their faith.
Yeah, that so much want to express it that they'll express it anywhere they're available, right? And I think that's the interesting piece here. So be wary of this issue of delicacy, because it's somewhat concealed at times, and we can get really into this false impression, especially under this issue of normalizing everything, neutralizing everything. God has given us great gifts and great talents, and only when we explore fully those individual gifts and talents and lift up and affirm everybody's individuality in that can we fully understand, more fully understand, not that we ever will, but more fully understand the magnitude that is in Christ, the magnitude that is in God and the gift of His Holy Spirit. So, you know, be careful of where you see these delicacies and how you want to taste them. Because it is easier to say, you know, well, why don't we all just get along and forget it? Well, that's not quite the answer necessarily. We shouldn't be forgetful of certain things. We should always be reminded of certain things. And one of the things that we should always be reminding each other of is that we are together and unified under Christ, that we have one body in Jesus Christ, that we share in His Holy Spirit and gift of His blood.
And how important being grounded in your faith is as you dodge your way through all these opportunities for delicacies that could really take you down the wrong path.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this conversation.
We continue to look to try to serve you the way God is calling us to serve the people by getting a chance to go deeper into a scripture verse, applying it to our lives the way we see it and understand it. And, you know, if you have a difference of opinion, you want to discuss that, throw us an email and let us hear from you.
Or talk to your pastor.
Talk to your pastor. But to get the conversation going, this is the issue,
somewhere.
Right?
Yeah.
If you want to get it going with us, we encourage you to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and or send us an email at dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. So we hope that you continue to participate in this ministry by listening and sending out that link as it becomes available to you on your podcast. And we just are so blessed to sit here every Sunday and have the opportunity to discuss the Word. And we're thankful for all of our listeners out there. So, Donna, is there anything you want to close off with tonight?
No, I think this was a great conversation.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to leave you for this week, and we pray that you all have a very fruitful week ahead of you, a discerning week ahead of you, and a prayerful week ahead of you. So we're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing "Open the Eyes of My Heart." Have a blessed week.
Bye now.
Are you guys ready to worship at this tonight? I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Come on, let's go.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. We'll be right back.